believe me. Well, I'm going to challenge you a little bit this morning. What I'm talking about is something that I think has been well recognized, first of all, right across Canada in the third chapter of my new book. And I think you'll really, I hope you're going to get something out of it. But one of the things I've learned over the years from the book of Isaiah, part of the wisdom literature, Isaiah says, listen. And that's important that we listen, because if we don't listen, we're not going to get something out of it. Now, I realize that some of you may have planned to work on your grocery list this morning, or maybe make plans for, think about what the rest of your week would look like. But I invite you to listen this morning. And we are going to get to that story of Ananias and Sapphira, but first we're going to do a little bit of work. So as we become full adults, I believe there's two fundamental questions that everyone should ask themselves. And the first one is, who am I? Who am I? And the second one is, what do I believe? What do I believe? Two questions. So to begin, I'm going to start with that second question. What do I believe? Now, for people of faith, followers of Jesus, many of us have spent lifetimes reading and listening and learning about who God is for me, for you. And the Latin word credo means that I believe. And again, over the years, many of us have written down just what it is we believe about who God is for you and for me. Our beliefs are guided by the United Church, but each one of us has grasped onto a different facet of theology to help us understand and answer that question, who is God for me? Now, certainly over the years, this understanding of who God is for you can change as we grow, and our circumstances of life can affect this knowing of who God is. And all of us are simply seeking a relationship with God, and each relationship may be different than the person sitting beside you this morning. Our God is a personal God, because each relationship is just as unique as we are. Now, second question, the one we're going to spend a little time on this morning, which affects the scripture? So the second question, the one which we will spend this little bit of time on, maybe 15 minutes, 14 minutes, if Shirley's down there timing me. It's a tough question to answer, who am I? Because in order to answer it, we have to drill down real deep, and that's called soul work. So when I ask the question, who am I? Many people begin by answering that with what they do, what they did in their career. Who am I? A teacher, a nurse, a hairdresser, mechanic, mother, father, grandparent. But that's what you do or what you did throughout your life, but not necessarily who you are. So we recognize each other by the vessel that we inhabit. I'm in co-op and somebody goes, oh, there's Linda Ormson. And that's that outer shell. But each of us is unique with special qualities that make up who we are. We're unique due to our DNA and how and where we were raised, our birth order, our gender, our education, our culture, race, religion, abilities, disabilities, a whole bunch of variables. Now think, if you will, that within your body you hold an imaginary bowl, B-O-W-L, bowl. And this bowl, soul bowl, I like to call it, sits in the area of your abdomen, your gut. And held in this bowl are all the things that make up who you are. Besides what I've just mentioned, what each of us also value is held in our soul bowl. So this morning I'd like to mention four values that each of us holds in our soul bowl. First of all, we have our core values. And core values are the things which you live for, in fact, you'd be willing to die for. Things that you stand up for, your bottom line, so to speak. Now, examples of core values are honesty, integrity, safety, kindness, equality, keeping promises. So for now, take a moment, think about what are your core values that are so important to you, you'd be willing to die for? Because that's who you are, the soul of your soul. Think about that for just a second. And now place all of those things in your soul bowl. Second, are your core abilities. And core abilities are those things that you're just naturally good at. Your talents, your gifts, music, dance, public speaking, painting, figuring out a math problem. That's not something I want to do. I'm not good at math. I love my calculator. But somebody else can do all that in their head. That's a gift. Now think about all of your gifts. What are you really, really good at? And put those in your soul bowl. Third is your core knowledge. Core knowledge consists of all those mysterious things that we know without knowing that we know them. This is a little bit of a tough one, but it's that inner wisdom, all the accumulated knowledge over the years. And of course, that wisdom inspired by God, life, and study. Examples of core knowledge might be just saying the right words just when they were needed. You know, to bring that friend some comfort. Problem solving, or simply coming up with the answer that everybody was looking for. You can't prepare for it. It's like when you're doing counseling. You don't know who's coming through the door. You don't know what they're going to ask you. And somehow, if you've got that core knowledge deep inside, the right words just come out. That's your core knowledge. And in fact, you have to look back, not forward, but back in your lifetime. When was it that you just were at the right place at the right time, said the right thing, and you thought after, wow, I didn't know I had that in me? That's your core knowledge. Finally, we've got your core fears. Most of us have fears. Fears of being alone, fear of dark places, spiders. I think it's so funny, you know, Canadians' greatest fear, they say, are snakes. And seriously, we rarely have snakes in this country. A few little garter snakes and maybe some in southern Alberta, but really we don't have very many snakes, but we're very fearful of snakes. Isn't that fascinating? I know, I just shake my head sometimes. But your core fears, one of the big core fears that many of us in any professional capacity has is the fear of failure, fear of being late. Now, think about your fears for a second and place them in your soul bowl. The word shadow, it's a psychological word. It was coined by Carl Jung way back in the mid-1900s. And shadow is to mean all the aspects of ourselves where we're inconsistent, like saying one thing and doing something else. So as an example, let's just say that one of your core values is honesty. And off you go to the store, and when you've purchased an item and the store clerk accidentally gives you back more change than was required for the transaction. Now you notice this, but you don't say anything. Or your core value is family, yet you remained estranged from your brother. Now, when you're not consistent with who you are, all that you believe you are and value, then you're metaphorically tipping out some of your values from your soul bowl. And that could be your honesty, it could be love of family. You're eroding some of who you are. And when you walked away from the store with that extra cash in your pocket, by the time you got to the car, your stomach might have begun to ache. You might have felt a headache coming on. Your palms might have been a little sweaty. You don't feel good about your actions because they went against your core values of who you are. People who are inconsistent with what they value are frequently plagued with physical and emotional health concerns. And that's why it's so important to figure out who you are and live by those standards. So you need to take some time and ask yourself, what are my core values? What are my core gifts? What is my core knowledge? And what am I fearful of? And then strive to walk your talk. Okay, back to this story. So we have this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, and they're followers of the way, Jesus' theology of loving your neighbor and helping the disenfranchised. Now, in a political sense, the new church was practicing true communism, as few personal possessions were considered their very own property, and everything was to be shared. People sold their houses, well, perhaps not their primary residence, but other property, to give all the proceeds to those in need through the church. And this new church, under Peter's mandate, was to lift up the values that Jesus stressed: helping those in need, loving them into wholeness, being kind, and respectful to all people. Now, I'm certain at their heart of hearts, both Ananias and Sapphira believed in the core values of helping the poor. But the story doesn't share why they went against these values and held back some of the funds from the sale of the property. Perhaps it was greed. Perhaps they had bills to pay. We don't know. Perhaps they felt they had worked hard for what they've achieved in life and did want to give, but maybe give not all of what they had. They had second thoughts. We'll never really know why, of course. But the story does share that the church leader of the time, who was Peter, did find out that they were holding back some of the funds that they had committed. They signed on the bottom line, so to speak, to give these proceeds of the property, but they lied of what the actual sale price was. They got caught. Ananias and Sapphira said one thing, their commitment to sharing, but in the end, they didn't follow through with what they believed. So Ananias and Sapphira's core values of honesty and helping others got metaphorically tipped out of their soul bowl. And as the story goes, they dropped dead where they stood. Now, if you read this story literally, they actually died on the spot. But the reader comes away, if that's your perspective, being fearful of God, who will punish us if we're not true to our word. Now, remember that the Jewish writers used metaphor and hyperbole to make a story dramatic, to get their point across to the readers. So that people would live, of course, in God's way. But when we read this story literally, it does very little to build a healthy relationship with God. Whereas, if you read it metaphorically, we see that broken promises can create guilt and shame, which goes against the core values of our first century couple, and also with us, and therefore creating more harm to ourselves by going against the core Christian values of loving your neighbor. Now, most people will experience shame and guilt for not following through with their promises, causing us to become ill in body, mind, or spirit. And there's great wisdom in this story this morning, for it encourages us to walk our talk, which helps build a good, healthy relationship with ourselves, with the people of God, our neighbors, and God. So what are we to learn from this story this morning? What is the point? As my doctoral professors used to say after I'd write a 50-page paper, so what? 50 pages, come on. So what? Well, to begin, for each of us to answer the question, who am I? And in order to do that, we need to ponder and ruminate, chew on what our core values are. And once you've figured that out, live by them. We all need to walk our talk. Action and words must be one. Yes, sometimes that's hard to do, but there lies the challenge. of being followers of Jesus. Not listening to our own core values can make us ill physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And when we're not consistent with what we value, we each tip out some of these values from our soul bowl, which diminishes who we are meant to be as people of God. And we suffer. Now, not likely are we to drop dead on the spot, but we do suffer with headaches and stomach aches, and our blood pressure goes up and our blood sugars go up, and that's the nurse in me talking, and agitated, and you lose sleep, and oh my gosh, you just generally don't feel good about yourself. And we lose our connection with God, which means our relationship with God suffers. And God wants and wills us to be in connection with God. And therefore, self-care is about enacting our promises, however big, however little. Be consistent. Honor yourself and who you are as one of God's people. Love yourself for who you are. Being kind to yourself is about following through with who you are. I invite you this week to spend some time striving to answer the question, who am I? What are my core values? What are my core gifts, my core abilities, and my core fears? And if you're not consistent with those values, strive to make it so. And the gathered community said, Amen.